لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولقد أرسلنا نوحا وإبراهيم وجعلنا في ذريتهما النبوة والكتاب فمنهم مهتد وكثير منهم فاسقون ثم قفينا على آثارهم برسلنا وقفينا بعيسى ابن مريم وآتيناه الإنجيل وجعلنا في قلوب الذين اتبعوه رأفة ورحمة ورهبانية ابتدعوها ما كتبناها عليهم إلا ابتغاء رضوان الله فما رعوها حق رعايتها فآتينا الذين آمنوا منهم أجرهم وكثير منهم فاسقون صدق الله العظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي And verily we sent Nuh عليه الصلاة والسلام and Ibrahim عليه الصلاة والسلام as messengers and we appointed the prophethood and messengerhood and the book and the law in the progeny of both of them, that is Nuh and Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam. So some from among their progeny, they are rightly guided people, but many are transgressors. Then we made our messengers to follow in their footsteps. ثُمَّ قَفَّيْنَا عَلَىٰ عَصَارِهِمْ بِرُسُلِنَا And we made Isa son of Maryam to follow, and we gave him Injil. وَجَعَلْنَا فِي قُلُوبِ الَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُ رَعْفَةً وَرَحْمَةً And we placed in the hearts of those who followed Hazrat Masih alayhi salatu wassalam compassion, tenderness and mercy. This is a special phenomenon that the followers of Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wassalam, they had extreme passions in their hearts, compassionate, merciful. Why was it so? Let me explain it in the light of the very well-known theory of dialectical materialism. To every thesis there is an antithesis and then a synthesis. This does happen in the world of matter. This does not happen in religion. Religion is the same from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It became in the time of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it became complete, but it started with Hazrat Adam. Deen is the same. But in the world of matter, material matters, this process is going on. And to some extent, this phenomenon is applicable to the behavior of men, to the behavior of people. That is the domain of psychology. If there is some extreme in some society, in some aspect, people who revolt and rebel against that, they will go to the other extreme. Because the ulama, the religious leaders of Bani Israel, they had taken this worldly life as their goal. They had made their religion a profession. They were traders in religion. They were amassing wealth through this religious office that they were holding. So actually it was a reaction that the followers of Hazrat Masih alayhi salatu wassalam went to the other extreme. And that is renunciation of this world. Renunciation of this world of matter, world of pleasures, asceticism. And then you know it reached the climax and to extreme position of monasticism. Not marrying, living in monasteries, all the life leading as unmarried people, men and women both, absolutely against nature on which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created them. So that was actually a result. Then we can have another thing, an apology for these people. They committed a mistake, but an apology for them. Because for them, the biggest ideals are two personalities. Jesus himself, Jesus Christ, Isa ibn Maryam, he didn't marry. No time came in his life for marriage. سیکنڈ جان دی بیپٹسٹ یحییٰ ابن زکریہ علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام، ہی آلسو ڈیڈنٹ میری، ہی واز آلسو اے ویری سینٹلی پرسن، ایسکیٹک پرسن، لیونگ آؤٹ سائڈ دی سٹیز اور ٹاؤنز ان دی ورلڈ. That is why, you know, in the Bible you find the word, the cry from the wilderness. Now the cry from the wilderness. So for them there are apologies. There are some bases because they took to that wrong attitude. So we must think about others sympathetically. If they committed a mistake, what was the reason? Why did they go that way? So to understand that phenomenon, I have given you two things. Number one, the phenomenon of dialectalism. So actually, everything which has gone to extreme, as a reaction, there will be extreme. The extreme reaction to capitalism was communism. No personal ownership, even of the articles of use, going to that extreme end. You can't own even a house. You can't own even a bicycle. Nothing. Everything is nationalized. That was the extreme. So actually, man has a tendency, and human society collectively also has a tendency to go to extremes. Jumps from one extreme to another extreme, from ifrat to tafreet. Because only Allah can give us the middle way, the balanced way, the sirat al-mustaqeem, the sawab sabeel. When you turn your eyes away from Allah's guidance, then you are left to these natural phenomena of action and reaction and thesis and antithesis and synthesis and then synthesis, again becoming a thesis and then creating an antithesis from its own bosom and then a synthesis, a process will go. So actually this is one of the causes. The other cause I told you, because their ideals, Hazrat Masih, Hazrat Yahya alayhi salatu wasalam, both of them married. So it became a virtue in them. To remain unmarried is something which is very to be admired, something to be followed. Anyhow, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pointing out it to be a mistake. وَجَعَلْنَا فِي قُلُوبِ الَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوا رَحْفَةً وَرَحْمَةً compassion, mercy, وَرَحْبَانِيَّةً اِبْتَدَعُوهَا. As for monasticism and asceticism, that they invented themselves. مَا كَتَبْنَاهَا عَلَيْهِمْ. We had not written that on them. We had not made imperative on them. We have not made it mandatory on them. It was not from our side. It was an innovation, an invention. It was a bid'ah. What is bid'ah? Something which you invent. You don't have any basis in the Book of Allah. You don't have any basis in the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You don't have any basis in the practice of the Sahaba, of the companions of the Prophet, and you are starting something new. This is bid'ah. This is innovation. So Rahbaniya also is innovation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, we didn't write it down on them. مَا كَتَبْنَا عَلَيْهِ كَتَبَ يَكْتُوَ. I told you to make something imperative, make something essential, make something mandatory. كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ السَّيَامُ كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْقِتَالُ. So كُتِبَ عَلَيْهِ مَا كَتَبْنَا عَلَيْهِ. We didn't make it mandatory on them. We didn't make it imperative for them. They themselves invented. Why they invented? As I told you, this is emotional phenomenon, going to extreme. But in our deen, the Prophet ﷺ has made it absolutely clear. لا رحبانية في الإسلام. There is no place of monasticism in Islam. And the second hadith is, رحبانية هذا الدين الجهاد في سبيل الله. The only monasticism in deen of Islam, in our deen, is jihad في سبيل الله. When you are going for jihad, for qital في سبيل الله, you are undergoing pains. You have to give up the comforts of your home life. You don't have those couches and beds to sleep. So actually this is the monasticism in Islam. Not that monasticism of depriving you of any pleasure of the world, not marrying, keeping aloof, living away in the caves or in the monastery, not marrying the whole. No, this is absolutely haram to Islam. La rahbaniya, that's a very categorical statement. And you know the Prophet was, how careful he was, let me tell you. There is a hadith, but I want to give you two hadiths. One is that the report came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu ta'ala alhumah. The father is very well known, Amr ibn al-As, the governor of Egypt, conqueror of Egypt. He was a big general, a big statesman, one of the biggest statesmen that Arabia had ever produced, Amr ibn al-As. He was sent as ambassador to the court of Lagos, Najashi, by the kuffar. He was still the kafir at that time, to fetch back the muhajirin who had gone and taken refuge in Abyssinia. So he held a very high position among the hierarchy of the Quraysh. But the son Abdullah was the reverse. He was a darwish, given to worshipping and praying and keeping psalm every day, praying to Allah all the night. Then the report came to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He summoned Hazrat Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As and he said, Ya Abdullah, awalam ukhbar annaka tasumu ad-dahr wa taqumu al-layl. Ya Abdullah, oh Abdullah, have I not been informed that you keep praying whole the night and you are with soap, with fasting every day? Qala bala ya Rasulullah. He said, okay, O Messenger of Allah, this is so. Now, note the wordings. Don't do it. لا تفعل. فَإِنَّ لِنَفْسِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقًّا وَإِنَّ لِزَوْجِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقًّا وَإِنَّ لِزَوْجِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقًّا. Your own body has right upon you. Your wife has right upon you. Your friends and visitors have right upon you. So this is the balance that Muhammad taught sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now there's the more important hadith. Three, Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu. This report is from Hazrat Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And this is muttafaqun alayh. Both Bukhari and Muslim agree on its authenticity. Hazrat Anas says, Ja'a salasatu rahtin ila buyuti azwaji nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yas'aluna an ibadatin nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Three people came to the houses of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they inquired, made inquiries about how much worship, how much prayers, for how long he prays at night, how many fasts he keeps each month, etc., etc. فَلَمَّا أُخْبِرُكَ أَنَّهُ تَقَالُّوهَا. When he was told to them, they thought it was not much. They expected that the Prophet would not be sleeping for even a single second. A Prophet of Allah, he should be praying to Allah all the night. But even because he was the Prophet, he couldn't say anything. قالوا, they said, فَأَيْنَ نَحْنُ لِلْرَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَقَدْ غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ وَمَا تَأَخَّرَ. But we have no ratio proportion with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is Nabi, he is Masoom, he is infallible. And even if there is possibly any mistake, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already pardoned him of all his shortcomings, possible shortcomings. So this much worship is sufficient for him, but not for us. So one of them said, قَالَ أَحَدُهُمَّا أَمَّا أَنَا فَأُصَلِّ اللَّيْلَ أَبَدَى. One of them said, I will keep praying the whole night. وَقَالَ الْآخَرُ وَأَنَا أَصُومُ الدَّهْرَ وَلَا أُفْطِرُ. The second said, I will always keep fast. Every day, I will never, leave any day without fast. وَقَالَ الْآخَرُ وَأَنَا أَعْتَدُ لِلنِّسَاءِ وَلَا أَتَزَوَّجُ أَبَدًا. And the third one said, well, I'll keep aloof from all women. I will never marry. فَجَاءَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِلَيْهِ. The news reached Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم also. Now he came. He went himself. The Prophet went to them. فَجَاءَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِلَيْهِ فَقَالَ أَنْتُمُ الَّذِينَ قُلْتُمْ كَذَا وَكَذَا. He asked, you are the people who said so and so and so. أَمَا وَاللَّهِ إِنِّي لَأَخْشَاكُمْ لِلَّهِ وَأَتْقَاكُمْ لَهُ. Listen it from me. I have the greatest regard for Allah more than any one of you. My heart is most fearful of Allah more than any one of you. وَلَكِنِّي أَصُومُ وَأُفْطِرُ. But my practice is that I fast also and I hold fast. Not in the month of Ramadan, please note. This is the nafl, additional fast. وَأُسَلِّي وَأَرْقُدْ And I pray during the night also, and I sleep also. وَأَتَزَوَّجُ النِّسَاءَ And I have married women. فَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي Whosoever deviates from my sunnah is not from me. Just look to the categorical statement, the emphasis. This is wrong, unnatural way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created men and women. He has put, you know, the instincts in them. He doesn't want that you should kill your instincts. Control them. Satisfy them through permissible means, halal means. If you obstruct the flow of water, it will take some other route. Water has to find its way. If you don't satisfy your urges through the right means, some wrong means will be adopted. And this is what happened in the history of Christian monasticism. They themselves have written. The authors here they have written. They appeared to be unmarried. And what should I say, you know, there was a professor, Abdul Qadir of history in Lahore, long ago. He used to say, though Elizabeth didn't marry first Elizabeth, whole of life, but she used to marry every night. That is the case. What do they do? What these fathers do? Their characters? Because this is unnatural. You are putting a block on the natural instincts. You are fighting yourself. Don't fight yourself. Give your body its due. Only through halal. قُلْ مَنْ حَرَّمَ زِينَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي أَخْرَجَ الْعِبَادِ وَطَيِّبَاتِ مِنَ الرِّزْقِ Ask them, who has forbidden the good things and permissible things and halal things of eating and adornment? Whatever is halal is free, you can use it. Untrue halal means and use only halal articles and things. That's only what is required of you. And don't usrifu, don't go, don't exceed the limits. You have to fulfill other obligations also. You have to make jihad for the cause of Allah also. You have to spend for the deen of Allah also. So you keep everything at its place. There is another version of this hadith, but I don't want to take more of time on this. I want to make one point more clear over here. Quran al-Hakim in three places gives us a very important guidance, basic guidance. Don't overdo. Don't exceed the limits. Don't go to extremes in piety even. Don't go into very details, minute details. Quran says, in tajtanibu kabaira ma tunhauna. If you can leave the big sins that have been made haram for you, kabair, nukaffir ankum sayyi'atikum, the smaller mistakes we shall wash off, we shall forgive. You take care of the big things. No shirk, no qatl, no zina, no riba, no theft. Big things, kabair. You take care of them. Don't care for very minute, you know, details. In tajtanibu kabaira ma tunhauna nukaffir ankum sayyi'atikum wa nudkhilukum mudkhalan kareema. Again, this is in Surah An-Nisa, ayah 31. Again, we have in Surah Ash-Shura. Wallazina yajtanibuna kabaira al-ithmi wal fawahish. Those who can, you know, avoid the big sins and the more evident acts of shame. This smaller thing, trivial thing. We shall just free. For the third time in Surah Al-Najm. إِنَّ رَبَّكَ وَاسِعُ الْمَغْفِرَةِ وَهُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِكُمْ إِذْ أَنْشَأَكُمْ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ وَإِذْ أَنْتُمْ أَجِنَّةٌ فِي بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنْفُسَكُمْ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنِ اتَّقَى الَّذِينَ يَجْتَنِبُونَ كَبَائِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَالْفَوَاحِشَ إِلَّا اللَّمَمَ إن ربك واسع المغفرة وهو أعلم لكم أعلم بكم إذ أنشأكم من الأرض وإذ أنتم أجنة في بطون أمهاتكم those who avoid the bigger sins and the more evident acts of shame, except, you know, small things, trivial things. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not care for these trivial things. He will just wash them off. This is the methodology of Quran. And what is our methodology? In one aspect we are going very deep, very deep, very deep. On the other side, just as Jesus has been reported to have said, it is in Gospel. You are trying to get away, you know, the mosquitoes. But full camels you are swallowing. Machar chhante ho, to woh se oont nikal jaate. Very sensitive. Well, he has said Ameen loudly. What he has done? But taking riba yourself, and he is also eating, no worry. Riba is going on. But rafaya then or not, which is the main issue, main problem. Main issue of debate. Taraweeh 8 or 20. Very big issue. Very important. What about haram earning? Okay, go on. Taking care of the mosquitoes. But swallowing the whole camel. This happens to those who go to very minute details in one aspect. Your view should be wholesome, wide perspective. Keep in view all the duties and obligations Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put on you. Try to do the best you can in all of those things. Not one-sided, unbalanced. This one-sidedness, unbalancedness takes you either to this attitude, caring for the mosquitoes, and devouring and swallowing the whole camel, or to the extreme that you become slaves of this world, or to the extreme that you invent monasticism. وَرَحْبَانِيَةً اِبْتَدَوْهَا مَا كَتَبْنَاهَا عَلَيْهِمْ إِلَّا اتِغَارِ اِذْوَانِ اللَّهِ. This part of this ayah is quite difficult to interpret. There are two ways of interpreting it. Number one, we had made imperative on them only to seek the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مَا كَتَبْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ إِلَّا ابْتِغَارِ اِذْوَانِ اللَّهِ. We had not made this asceticism or monasticism imperative on you. We had only made imperative upon them, mandatory upon them, to seek the pleasure of Allah. And the second interpretation is that the mistake they did commit, but that mistake was out of sincerity, out of good motives. They wanted to please Allah. They thought the way of pleasing Allah is this, to keep absolutely away, to be extremely careful. If you are living in a family, maybe at some time the love of your wife or love of your children, as Quran says, إِنَّ مِنْ أَزْوَاجِكُمْ وَأَوْلَادِكُمْ عَدُوًّا لَكُمْ فَاحْذَرُوهُمْ. Living with them, there is the possibility you might slip sometimes. But if you keep away, well, you are safe. So actually their motives were not wrong. That is why in Surah Al-Fatiha, it is generally the consensus of the Mufassireen that Maghdoobi Alayhim, by Maghdoobi Alayhim are meant the Jews. Whereas Dhaaleen, and by Dhaaleen are meant the Christians. Maghdoobi Alayhim are those who went astray knowingly due to the love of this world, love of wealth and love of money. Due to greed, they went astray knowingly. They are maghdoobi alayhim. They are the people who have incurred the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Zuribat alayhimu zillatu wal maskalatu wa ba'u bi ghadabi min Allah. But these people, they just exceeded the limits, but out of sincerity and love, out of excessive fear of Allah, out of excessive care. So that is why they are called people who went astray, only. They went astray, no doubt. But the motive was not wrong, the motive was good. So this is, so to say, another apology for these people. But then they couldn't observe it as it should have been observed. To decide that I won't go near a woman is easy. But to keep away from a woman, when you have your sexual desire, when there is an opportunity, it's very difficult. It's better to go the right way and get married, so that your urge can be satisfied through halal means. So this is what happened to the monasteries. That is why, you know, there is a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, لَا تَشُدُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Don't be over harsh to your bodies and yourselves. شِدَّة لَا تَشُدُّوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ فَيُشَدِّدِ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ. So Allah Ta'ala will also be harsh to you. When you have decided, you won't do it. Now you are doing it. It's a double crime. First of all, you made a decision by your own. It was not made imperative by Allah. And now you are not keeping your promise. You are double criminal. لَا تَشُدُّوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ وَيُشَدِّدِ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ فَإِنَّ قَوْمًا شَدَّدُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ فَشَدَّدَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ فَتِلْكَ بَقَايَاهُمْ فِي السَّبَامِ وَالدَّيَارِ. This is reported by Abu Dawood rahimahullah, and it is from Anas radiyallahu ta'ala. There were people before you who became over harsh to their bodies and to their own selves. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was also then harsh with them. But they didn't keep with their promises, the determination, they broke the covenants. So now you can find the baqaya. These are the signs that you find in the monasteries. There are these people. You can see and go and see for yourself the character. فَمَا رَعَوْهَا حَقَّ رِعَايَتِهَا فَآتَيْنَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْهُمْ أَجْرَهُمْ وَكَثِيرٌ مِنْهُمْ فَاسِقُونَ. Then they didn't observe it as they should have observed it. They couldn't keep their determination as they should have kept it. Because it's a rule. Nafl, voluntary salah, when you have started, it becomes wajib. If you can't do it, don't start it. Once you begin, it becomes wajib. So if you have put any restrictions on you, then you have to observe them. Now keep them. Otherwise, you will be brought to the book. So why to make such decisions against the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? We should have the model of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the balanced model. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. You have a very beautiful, a very balanced model in the person of Muhammad, in the person of the Messenger of Allah. Follow it. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهَ. Tell to them, if you love Allah, follow me, Allah will love you. So you keep the model of Muhammad, the balanced model of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just as you said, أُسَلِّي وَارْكُدْ. During the night, I pray also, but I sleep also. I give my body rest. It is the right of this body, I have to give it. I keep fast, nafl, and I don't keep it. Then I have married, I have wife, I have children. I am leading a family life. This is my way. النِّكَاحُ مِنْ سُنَّتِي. This is my way. Leading a family life, married life. A normal life is, and glad you are living in a family. So that is actually, this as I told you, the sequence is that first of all, don't be like those whose hearts hardened, the Jews. وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِ فَطَالَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْعَبَدُ فَقَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَكَثِيرٌ مِنْهُمْ فَاسِقُونَ. On the one extreme, you have the examples of the Jews. They are the slaves of money, slaves of greed. But on the other, the followers of Jesus alayhi salatu was salam, Masih alayhi salatu, they also invented. It was bid'ah. We didn't make this monasticism imperative on them. They invented it. رَحْبَانِيَّةَ لِبْتَدَعُوهَا. What is the root meaning of rahab? Rahab means fear. فَإِيَّايَ فَرْحَبُونَ. You should fear me only. Rahib, Rahib, who has fear? Rahib, who has fear? Fearful person, Rahib. Now Rahib, from this Rahban, on the scale of Fa'lan, Ghazban, very much, extremely fearful person. Fear of Allah. Fear of the day of judgment. Fear of the accountability of the day of judgment. So that fear that caused them all this renunciation, all this depriving the body of all its, even the due rights, that fear. Rahbaniyyah. This now became an institution for fearful people who have the fear of Allah in their hearts. And due to that extreme fear of Allah, they are abstaining and they have renunciated all pleasures of life. But this is haram in Islam. La rahbaniyyah fi Islam. Now we are coming to the third ayah of this last section. Ya ayyuhal ladhina, and this is to sum up the whole surah. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullah wa aminu bi rasoolihi yu'tikum kiflayn min rahmatihi. O you who profess to believe, have regard of Allah. The meaning of taqwa, I never like fear. Khashiyah is fear. Rahab is fear. Khawf is fear. Every word has a meaning of its own. But ittaqa, taqwa, is not fear. To have regard. Be mindful of Allah. Keep mindful of Allah. This is the best interpretation. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullah. Always remain mindful of Allah. Always have regard for Allah. He is seeing you. You are in His presence. You have to meet Him anyhow. There is no place to run or hide. Ilayhi turja'oon. You will be returned to Him. Whether you like or not. Turja'oon is passive voice. Whether you like it or not. You will be made to return to Him. Have regard of Allah. Wa aminu bi rasoolihi. Why? Now here the emphasis is on Iman bil Rasul. Because the practical shape of deen is based on the Sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You have to follow him. Quran says, Aqeemu Salah. How to aqeem? How to establish Salah? Quran is silent. Where in Quran you find five prayers a day? Where can you find that there are two rakat in Fajr Farz and three in Maghrib? Sajda is mentioned, Qiyam is mentioned, Ruku is mentioned, Tilawah and Qiraat is mentioned, Tasbih is mentioned, Takbir is mentioned, but this combination of all these things in this pattern, where can you find it? Sunnah. So actually deen, Allama Iqbal has very beautifully said in Persian, بَمُصْطُفَى بَرَسَا خِيشْرَا كِدِينَ هَمَوْسْ اَغَرْ بَعُونَ رَسِيدِي تَمَامْ بُولَ حَدِيثُ. Take yourself to Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. بَمُصْطُفَى بَرَسَا خِيشْ. Drag yourself towards Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. كِدِينَ هَمَوْسْ. Deen is all Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What does it mean? The practical form of deen is totally based on the sunnah of Muhammad, on the model of Muhammad, on the practice of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Quran, divide of the practice of Muhammad is nothing in practical shape. You don't find it. The practical shape of deen is based on the sunnah. I have given you the most evident example. As-salatu imaduddin, that's the main pillar of deen. As-salat. No two persons can agree on the form of Salah if you leave away the Ahadith and the Sunnah of the Prophet. I would choose another pattern from the Quran and you will choose another one. Some will say in Quran two prayers are also mentioned, some will say three are mentioned, some will say it's only just sit in this chair and remember, that's all. Anything can be said. This combination and more than a billion people on the surface of the earth agreeing on the main features of Salah. You go to Hajj or Umrah, you find all nationalities from the east, from the west, from the south, from the north, Europe, America, Africa, Asia, the yellows and the blacks and the whites and the reds, all. But you know the Salah is the same. Very minor differences. Their congregation is not broken. Please note it. If somebody has raised his hand, congregation doesn't break. You have not raised, he has raised. But you know, main harmony, congregation is not broken. Someone has said, Ameen, loudly. Someone has said, you know, quietly. The congregation doesn't break. Perhaps, now supposedly, if somebody or some sect in Islam or Muslims would have thought that in every rakat there is one ruku, one sajda. Why one ruku and two sajdas? Why not two rukus and one sajda? If there are one sajda, then he will stand up after one sajda. And who believes in two, he will be there. Ye nada gir gaye sajde mein jab waqt-e qiyam aaya. They will think that it was the time of standing as they are in the prostration. The congregation broke. Now it's not the, that harmony. Go. This harmony of it, so big an ummah, 3 million of them making hajj, and the song, and the salah is the same rhythm, the same sequence, the same takbir al-tahreema, the same recitation of Surah Al-Fatiha, the same ruku, same qawma, same sajda, same jalsa, same again second sajda, then sajda. So actually, I've given you an example of salah. Now you expand it and project it. The whole life and the pattern, life pattern and the social pattern has to be derived and based on the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But, and that is what we have discussed. That he said himself, إِنِّي لَأَتْقَاكُمْ وَأَخْشَاكُمْ لِلَّهِ. I am the most fearing person amongst you. And I have the maximum regard more than you. But I pray also, I sleep also. Someday I am fasting, someday I am not fasting. This is my practice. رَنْدَوِي بَعْنْ سُلَّةِ فَلَيْكَ مِنِّي. Whosoever deviates from my practice is not from me. He is not from my ummah. But here the most important subject is. Now you come to the main theme of the surah. What does the surah say? We have sent our prophets and messengers so that the system of social justice be established. We have sent Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I told you this very ayah number 25 of Suratul Hadith actually, when it is applied to personally Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it becomes that ayah. هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. But how to do it? Somebody say we don't find the methodology in Quran, because nowhere in the Quran there is the chapter the methodology of the revolution of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Is it discussed in the Quran in any surah? Then give me the answer. Where will you get it from? The Sunnah of Prophet. He did it. Even the enemies, they accept. He brought about the most profound revolution of the human history. I gave you the testimony of H.G. Wells. You have the testimony of the person living in this very part of the world, Michael Hart. He is topping the list of the persons most influential in shaping, in turning the direction of the course of history. And let me give you another testimony from a Hindu of India. M.N. Roy was a very big revolutionary. The early revolutionaries of Bengal, in the early part of the century, 20th century, first revolutionaries in India against the British, those, they were from Bengal and they were Hindus. One of them was M.N. Roy. Then he became Marxist. A very important Marxist communist. He was member of the Communist International. The top top brass, international top brass. He gave a lecture at Lahore in 1920, Bredla Hall, Lahore. The title of the lecture was Historical Role of Islam. This book you can still find. It is printed in Bombay. Maybe you can find it here in libraries. Historical Role of Islam, and he says, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought about the most profound revolution of the human history. So actually, it's an irony of fate. So many movements are working, but they are not turning to the methodology of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is why we are failing. The revivalist movements, the fundamentalists, the so-called fundamentalists, they are sincere. They are laying down their lives. What more sincerity can you expect from the person? If for a cause he is ready to sacrifice his life, nobody can question his sincerity. But we are not getting anywhere. Why? We are borrowing the methodology somewhere from the communists, somewhere from some Viet Cong, somewhere from some other group. We are not taking to the methodology with which Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought about the change, the profound change. So actually in the main theme of this surah, you have to make infaq for the cause of Allah. You have to go to fight for the cause of Allah. You have to try to establish this system of just social order given by Allah on earth. But how to do it? For that, turn your attention to the seerah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Focus your high-powered lenses. Focus them. Try to read in between the lines of the seerah. And what I call, try to understand the philosophy of the seerah. You have two different subjects. Masters in history, and you have another masters in philosophy of history. History is something else. This thing happened, this thing happened, this thing happened in this year, after that, and why it happened. What are the underlying principles of the rise and fall of civilizations and nations and empires? Why do some civilization rise? And why does it fall? Philosophy of history. So actually, the need of the time for all people who have decided. First of all, I said, you have to make a firm resolve. I have to live for Islam, die for Islam. I have to dedicate myself for the establishment of Islamic just social order, at least somewhere in the world, so that to show to the humanity at large, this is the system of social justice given by Allah, your Lord, your Creator, through Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Come and see, this is the model. And for that, number two is that you have to focus your attention, you have to deduce it, you have to derive it, you have to infer it from the seerah of Muhammad. That I have tried to do in my own humble way. My book in Urdu, Manhaj-e-Inqilab-e-Nabawi, about 400 pages. Tapes and videotapes, audio tapes, they are available now in Urdu, in English. It's only if you want, if you have the determination, you listen and view them. Ya ayyuhallazina amanu taqullaha wa aminu bi rasulihi. Put your faith maximum in the person of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, they say in Persian, ja'i-jat. First of all, you should have the firm belief, this is the place where I will get something. When you hope that here, there is a possibility of getting oil. Now you spend millions and millions of dollars on exploration. First of all, you have in your mind, this is the place where we shall get the methodology, the seerah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now you devote and invest your time, your intelligence that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon you to understand, read in between the lines of the seerah. Try to understand the philosophy of the seerah, and that will give you the methodology. How is it possible that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might have made it imperative and firm upon us to make His deen supreme and not giving us the methodology? Is it possible? He has given us the methodology. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. For you there is a good model in the person of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But for those only who remember Allah, ذَكَرُ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا, who believe in the last day, مَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا, only they will be able to benefit themselves from the model of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah include us all among them. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وآمنوا برسوله يؤتكم كفلين من رحمته. Allah will give you double portion from His mercy. ويجعل لكم نورا, and He will give you light. تمشون به, you'll be able to walk with it. Very beautiful. One light is that will become apparent on the day of judgment. We shall be able to pass over that bridge or whatever it is that we shall see after death and after the resurrection. But it is mentioned here. Some stage which you have to go through. And the light will be only with the mu'minin. يَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ نُورًا تَمْشُونَ بِهِ. But before that you need a light to walk on this earth. You need a light which can lead you to the methodology of revolution. If you take it for granted, if you fix your attention on it, you get the light. The light is the sirah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. بَمُصْطَفَى بَرَسَا خِي شِرَاكِ دِنِي هَمَعُوسِ اگر بَعُولَ رَسِيدِي تَمَامُ بُولَا بِي. Again I have to quote this couplet. Take yourself to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because deen is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if you don't take yourself to him, you may be thinking that you are on deen, on Islam, on taqwa. But it is bulahbi. It is the following of bulahb. You might be thinking anything about yourself. يَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ نُورًا تَمْشُونَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ. And he will condone your mistakes. He will forgive you your sins. If you take to the right direction, it's very beautiful. Please understand. If you are going in the right direction, someone is going very swift, someone is slow, but he is in the same direction. Someone has slipped, again he stands up, makes tawbah, again goes, he is on the same direction. But whosoever has taken the wrong direction, he is doomed. So you straighten your direction. Qibla seedha karo. Aur qibla kya hai? Taqwa of Allah and ittiba of Muhammad. Straighten your direction. Everything. Deen essentially is love of God. Practically is the following of Muhammad. Now if you have taken to this direction, now if there is mistake, some are very, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created persons, some are very strong, some are weak. So some is running, you know, fast, some is just walking. Some is only dragging. But so long as they are on the right direction, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will condone the mistakes or the slowness. But if you have taken the wrong direction, every moment you are going away from your destination. Tarsam ke bekaba nanasi hai rabi. Kira ke tumi rabi batul kistanas. O Bedouin, I fear you will never be able to reach Kaaba. You intend to go to Kaaba for Hajj or Umrah, but the way that you have taken is going towards Turkistan. Tarsam ke Kaaba na rasi hai arabi ki raah ke tumi rabi ba Turkistan. You don't know, you have taken a wrong way. Ya ayyuhallazina amanu taqullaha wa aminu bi rasulihi yu'tikum kiflayn min rahmatihi wa yaj'al lakum nuran tamshuna bihi wa yaghfir lakum wallahu ghafurur rahim. لَأَلَّا يَعْلَمَ أَهْلُ الْكِتَابِ أَلَّا يَقْدِرُونَ عَلَى شَيْءٍ مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَأَنَّ الْفَضْلَ بِيَدِ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَاللَّهُ ذُو الْفَضْلِ الْعَظِيمِ. In the interpretation of this ayah also, there are two schools of thought. Most of the people think that this لَأَلَّا, لَا here is additional without any meaning. It means lekela. Leke. La is omitted. Is to be omitted. This is one of the opinions, and this is held by most of the people. And the meaning is, so that the people of the book should understand that they have no authority over the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the bounty is belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He gives it to whomsoever He likes. And Allah is of great bounty. He gave you the bounty. You prove that you are not deserving it now. So He has taken it back from you. Now the fadl is with Allah. He is authorized to give it to anybody. You may be jealous, you may be envious, you may be furious with jealousy, but nothing doing. It's the authority of Allah. Exclusive prerogative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He chooses whomsoever He likes. لِكَيْ يَعْلَمَ Instead of لِاللَّهِ if He read, لِكَيْ يَعْلَمَ أَهْلُ الْكِتَابِ So that the people of the book should know for certain that they have no authority over the bounty of Allah. This bounty all belongs to Allah. It is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He gives it to, He grants it to whomsoever He likes. And He is of great and immense bounty. But the other meaning, I was very much perturbed that most of the translators have nearly agreed on this translation, that La is here additional without meaning. I was never ready to accept it. Why should Allah use a word without meaning? There should be no word in Quran meaningless. And I had an interpretation, but I was very fearful that I can't venture to give an opinion of mine, single-handed, but then I found Shah Abdul Qadir, Rahimahullah, son of Shah Waliullah Dehlavi. In Muzih al-Quran, he has taken the same standpoint that I am presenting before you. So it is now from him, not from me. He is the authority. I am not the authority. And he said it is Le Allah, not Le Kay. Le Allah ya'lam ahlul kitab. So that the people of the book should not feel, people of the book should not feel deprived. Allah yaqdiruna ala shay'in min fadlillah. That now they have no access to the fadl of Allah. The fadl of Allah is still open for them. Come. Come embrace Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And example is in Surah Bani Israel. Maybe tomorrow I'll be discussing something about Surah Bani Israel and Surah Kahf. Asa rabbukum an yarhamakum wa in udtum udna. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to the Yahud, to the Bani Israel, your Lord is still ready to have mercy upon you. Don't be disappointed. The door of mercy, rahmatul lil alameen, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this door is open to you also. Come and embrace Islam. This Quran, inna hadha al-Qurana yahdi lillati hiya aqwam. This is the door to Allah's mercy and Allah's blessings. Come. So I think this is the interpretation. That the people of the book also shouldn't feel that their chance is gone absolutely. The doors are open. The blessings of Allah is still available for them. They don't think, they shouldn't think that they have no access to it. Because I don't have time, but I have, you know, the examples. That Quran says, Yaqdirun. This is actually used thrice in Quran. And for example, there is the ayah of number 18 of Surah Ibrahim. مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَعْمَالُهُمْ كَرَمَادٍ اشْتَدَّتْ بِهِ الرِّيحُ فِي يَوْمٍ عَاصِفٍ لَا يَقْدِرُونَ مِمَّا كَسَبُوا عَلَى شَيْءٍ ذَلِكَ هُوَ الضَّلَالُ الْبَعِيدُ. The hypocrites or the people who don't have the real faith, if they have done good deeds, they think that they have something with them. But the similitude of their good deeds is like the ashes on which a very powerful wind blows and disperses it off. Nothing is there. They have nothing. They can't have any access to their good deeds. No reward is available to them. And there is another example in Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah number 264. لا يقدرون على شيء مما كسبوا. They now don't have any power to get the reward of those things that they had done, because all those deeds were without sincerity, without the real belief of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, keeping these two examples in view, and because now I have no fear, because I have on my side Shah Abdul Qadir of Delhi, the biggest translator of Quran into Urdu. The first translations in Urdu were made by two brothers, two sons of Shah Waliullah Dehlvi. Shah Waliullah himself did the translation of Quran in Persian. And two of his sons, rather three of his sons. Shah Abdul Aziz translated and wrote a tafsir also, Tafsir-e-Azizi. Shah Abdul Qadir made a translation which was idiomatic. And Shah Rafiuddin, the third son, he translated, and that was a literal translation. So Shah Waliullah Dehlvi is a very big person of our history. So because he is on my side, so I don't fear giving this opinion, that this means that even the people of the book shouldn't feel that they are now absolutely left alone, left out. No, they have the chance. Come, believe in Muhammad. Take the guidance of Quran. أَثَا رَبُّكُمْ أَيَّرْحَمَكُمْ وَإِنْ عُدْتُمْ عُدْنَا وَجَعَلْنَا جَهَنَّمَ لِلْكَافِرِينَ حَصِيرًا إِنَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ يَهْدِي لِلَّتِي هِيَ أَقْوَمُ ويبشر المؤمنين الذين يعملون السيئات يعملون الصالحات أن لهم أجرا كبيرا وأن الذين لا يؤمنون بالآخرة أعتدنا لهم عذابا أليما. I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives us the courage to make a firm resolve. We shall follow Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this Quran a light for us. We shall follow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we shall focus our attention on the seerah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to see as to how to bring about an Islamic revolution, how to establish the just social order given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for humanity through Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-azim wa nafa'ni wa iyaakum bil ayati wa zikr al-hakim.